You know, it's funny, from unlocking your phone with Face ID, maybe navigating traffic with Google Maps, or even just asking Siri to set an alarm, artificial intelligence, AI, it's already really deeply embedded in our daily lives. A lot of times we don't even notice it. So today, we're gonna pull back the curtain a bit, really try and understand what's going on under the hood with this transformative technology. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and we've pulled from quite a stack of sources for this deep dive. We've got everything from Google's AI Essentials course, we've kind of distilled that for you, to various beginner guides, the accessible stuff, and even some really interesting YouTube insights from people working right in the field. Our mission really is simple. Cut through the jargon, give you actionable knowledge, basically give you a shortcut to feeling genuinely well-informed about AI without feeling, completely overwhelmed.
Okay, so first things first. What is AI really? I think when most people hear AI, their mind immediately jumps to like sci-fi robots,
Exactly.
right?
That's the common image.
But the truth is, AI isn't just about, gleaming metal figures.
Not at all. At its core, artificial intelligence is actually a subfield of computer science. It's all about creating what we call intelligent agents. Now, these agents, they're designed to do tasks that normally need human intelligence. Things like learning from data, reasoning through problems, solving complex things, making decisions, even understanding language and images. And it's fascinating how many misconceptions still float around that basic idea.
Like what?
Well, for instance, AI is way broader than just robots. It includes the search algorithms you use every single day, natural language processing, and that whole idea of AI surpassing human intelligence, artificial general intelligence or AGI, that's still purely theoretical. It's sci-fi for now.
Okay, so no super intelligence around the corner just yet.
Not yet. And AI isn't inherently unbiased either. That's a big one. It can easily inherit biases just from the data it's trained on.
Ah, right. Garbage in, garbage out, sort of.
Exactly. And finally, yeah, AI can automate tasks, absolutely. But it's not going to replace all human jobs, especially jobs needing that, emotional intelligence, creativity, those nuanced human skills. AI's not there.
You mentioned AI doesn't understand like humans, it just processes patterns. So what's actually fueling that process? What's it working with?
Data. Simple as that. Data is the fuel.
Okay. But I've heard people say, more data is always better. Is that really true? It doesn't sound quite right based on what you just said about bias.
You've hit on a really critical point there. Data is the fuel, absolutely. But it is definitely not about quantity alone. Think of it like, well, feeding an AI junk data is like feeding yourself junk food.
Right.
It might fill you up, but it's not making you perform any better. In fact, we've seen cases where just a minor flaw, a small bias in the training data, led an AI to consistently misdiagnose patients or just outright fail at really critical tasks. It's always, always quality over quantity.
Got it. Quality data. So speaking of data and AI, how do these other terms fit in? Like machine learning, deep learning. You hear them thrown around almost interchangeably sometimes.
Yeah, that's a super common point of confusion. Honestly, even within the industry itself sometimes, let's try and clarify. Think of AI as the big umbrella, the broad, overarching field we've been talking about.
Okay.
Now, machine learning, or ML, that's a major part of AI. It's basically a way to give computers the ability to learn from data and make decisions without being explicitly programmed for every single step.
So it learns on its own, kind of.
You can think of it like teaching computers to learn from experience, yeah, much like humans do. A great example, ad platforms. They use ML constantly in the background to predict which ads you're most likely to click on.
Ah, okay. So that's ML. What about deep learning then?
Right, so deep learning, or DL, is a type of machine learning. It uses something called neural networks. Now, these are models inspired by how the human brain works, so important note, they're not identical.
Inspired by the brain. Okay.
Yeah, and they use these networks to solve incredibly complex problems. Things like predicting housing prices, understanding speech, image recognition. Think of them like layers of interconnected filters. Each layer learns to recognize specific patterns in the data, a bit like how your brain learns to recognize faces or voices over time.
Okay, layers of filters, got it. And data science, where does that fit?
Data science is sort of an overlapping field. It's more focused on extracting knowledge and insights from data, often to drive business decisions. The output might be a report, or suggestions for action, rather than just a piece of software like an ML model.
So AI is the field. ML is learning from data within AI. DL is a complex type of ML using neural networks. And data science uses data for insights.
You got it. And just having that foundational understanding really helps you place everything else you hear about AI. It gives you a framework.
Okay, that really helps clarify things. So now that we have a clearer picture of what AI is, let's talk about where you'll actually see it and use it. Because like we said at the start, it's probably far more common than most people think.
Exactly. The AI tools you actually encounter, they broadly fall into three main categories. Let's break those down. The first type, the ones we often think of first, are standalone tools.
Okay.
These are AI-powered software designed for independent use. Usually pretty minimal setup. Think of the general chatbots people use, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, Perplexity.
Right, the big names.
Yeah. But this category also includes more specialized apps, like Midjourney for generating images, Otter AI for transcription, maybe Gamma for making presentations. You go directly to their websites or apps and they just work on their own.
Okay, so those are the tools you deliberately go to for an AI task. What about AI just showing up in the software we already use every day?
That's the perfect lead-in to the second category. Tools with integrated AI features.
Ah, built-in stuff.
Exactly. Built-in enhancements within the software you're already familiar with. So for example, instead of copying text from, say, Google Docs over to ChatGPT to improve your writing, you might use the built-in Gemini for Workspace feature right inside Google Docs to make those tweets. Or maybe generate images directly within Google Slides instead of making them in Midjourney and then having to import them.
So it's more seamless, less jumping between apps.
Precisely. They're enhancements that live right inside your familiar applications. Makes things much smoother.
Okay, that makes sense. And the third category, I'm guessing this is where things get really specific, really tailored.
You guessed it. The third type is custom AI solutions. These are applications built specifically, tailor-made, to solve a very particular problem for an individual or a team or maybe a whole organization.
Okay, like a bespoke suit, but for AI.
Kind of, yeah. A really powerful example comes from Johns Hopkins University. They developed an AI system just for detecting sepsis.
Wow, okay.
And this custom AI solution dramatically improved their diagnostic accuracy. It went from like a mere 2-5% up to an average of 40%. That's a huge leap. It's a game changer because it addresses one very precise critical need.
That's incredible. And what's really surprising, I think, about these custom solutions, for you, the person actually using it day to day, they often don't require you to know anything technical about the AI itself, right?
That's often the case, yeah. Like, complexity is hidden.
Like, imagine a sales team. You could have a custom AI solution that takes in all the info about, say, 200 clients, seasonality, past purchases, industry trends, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it ranks those clients by how likely they are to need help or make a purchase. That helps the salesperson prioritize their time, focus on the right leads, all without needing to understand the algorithms running underneath.
Exactly. It just gives them the useful output.
Yeah.
So understanding these three categories, standalone, integrated, and custom, it really helps you spot how AI is already impacting your work, your personal life, and maybe where new opportunities lie.
Okay, so AI is everywhere in these different forms. Now, the big question, how can you, the listener, actually get the most out of it? It seems like it's about more than just typing in a simple question. What if I told you that just by changing how you ask the question, you could turn a generic AI answer into something hyper-personalized, really actionable? It feels like finding a secret language to unlock its full potential. Here's where it gets really interesting.
You've absolutely hit on a core truth there. Mastering how you communicate with AI, people often call it prompt engineering, can make a massive difference in the results you get. Our sources, they highlight some really critical tips for smarter prompting. First one, you need to surface the implied context.
Implied context? What do you mean?
Okay, so when you talk to another person, they instinctively understand a lot of unspoken information, right? If your friend who's vegetarian asks for restaurant recommendations.
You wouldn't suggest a steakhouse, obviously.
Exactly. You just know. But AI doesn't know what you're thinking or that background info. So you have to explicitly state it. You have to say, my friend is vegetarian. Same idea if you're brainstorming negotiation tactics for a raise with an AI. You can't just ask for tactics. You need to provide that implied context. My raise last year was 10%. I was a top performer. The industry average is 12%. Without that detail, you'll just get incredibly generic, unhelpful advice.
Ah, I see. So you have to fill in the blanks that a human would normally understand automatically. It really shows how much of the intelligence actually comes from the user's ability to communicate effectively, not just the AI itself.
Precisely. It's a partnership.
Okay, what other secrets can we unlock? What else helps?
Second big tip. Know when to use zero-shot, one-shot, and few-shot prompting.
Shot, like a try.
Sort of. In this context, shot just means examples. So zero-shot prompting is when you give the AI a prompt with no examples, like just asking, write me a pickup line for Bumble.
Okay, straight request.
Yep. Then a one-shot prompt would include one example of the kind of thing you want. Maybe an example of a pickup line style that worked well for you before.
Giving it a hint.
Exactly. And few-shot prompting means you include two or more examples. The key takeaway here is really simple. The more relevant examples you give the AI tool, the more relevant, and therefore useful, the output is likely to be.
More good examples in, better results out. Makes sense. What's the third tip?
And third, especially for complex tasks, use something called chain of thought prompting.
Chain of thought. Sounds interesting.
It is. It basically means breaking down a single big complex task into smaller, more manageable, step-by-step instructions for the AI. This really helps it produce more accurate and consistent results, especially for longer outputs.
Okay, so instead of one giant request.
Right. Take writing a cover letter. Instead of just dumping your resume and the job description and saying, write me a cover letter.
Which probably gives you something pretty generic.
Usually, yeah. Instead, you break it down. Step one. Based on my attached resume in this job description, write an attention-grabbing hook for my cover letter.
Okay.
Then you look at the hook, maybe tweak it a bit. Then you go to step two. Okay, great hook. Now, using this hook, write the main body paragraph connecting my experience to the job requirements. And you continue like that, step by step for the closing and everything else.
Building it piece by piece with the AI.
Exactly. These techniques surface in context using the right number of examples and chain of thought, they're immediately actionable. They can seriously transform those generic AI outputs into solutions that are genuinely tailored to what you need.
That's incredibly practical. It really changes the dynamic from just asking questions to actively guiding the AI. Okay, so we know how to talk to it better. Now let's zoom out again. Where else is AI near omnipresent, as you put it? Beyond the obvious examples, where is it making a difference? Maybe even in ways we don't see.
Oh, its reach really does extend almost everywhere now. Mm-hmm. In everyday technology, like we touched on, it's Google Maps optimizing your route using real-time traffic data. It's Siri or Alexa setting your alarms. It's Face ID unlocking your phone. That's the stuff we often see.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at business and industry. AI is huge in healthcare algorithms, analyzing medical images to help spot diseases earlier, assisting in discovering new drugs. In finance, it's crucial for fraud detection, for algorithmic trading. Retail uses it constantly for those recommendation systems when you shop online, and for managing inventory behind the scenes.
Right. The people who bought this also bought stuff.
Exactly. That's often ML running. Mm. Even in gaming and entertainment, AI controls the non-player characters, the NPCs. In video games, it drives content recommendations on Spotify and Netflix.
Yeah.
It's even starting to assist in things like music composition or film editing.
Wow. Okay. And public services.
Yeah, even there. It's helping with public services optimizing traffic signal timings in cities to reduce congestion. It's being used in emergency response, helping predict natural disasters or figure out the best evacuation routes. It's really becoming embedded in the infrastructure.
It's truly pervasive, but for all this amazing power, this reach, it's really crucial. We also understand that AI has significant limitations, doesn't it? It's not some kind of magic bullet that solves everything perfectly.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And understanding its boundaries is just as important, maybe even more important than understanding its capabilities.
So what are the key areas where AI still falls short? Why is that important for us to keep in mind?
Okay, several key limitations. The first big one we already touched on, bias in the data.
Right.
If the models are trained on biased data, their outputs will reflect that bias. Simple example.
Yeah.
If a text-to-image model was only ever trained on pictures of minimalistic graphic design, it's going to struggle if you ask it to generate something really flashy and bold.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the right examples.
Okay. Biased input, biased output. What else?
Second, many models suffer from insufficient data or knowledge cutoff dates. They were trained on data up to a certain point in time. So if you ask an AI about a very recent event, it might simply not have that information in its training data, leading to inaccurate or outdated answers.
Ah, so it's not always up to the minute.
Definitely not always. Third, there's the issue of hallucinations.
Hallucinations? Like the AI is seeing things.
Sort of. It means the AI generates outputs that sound plausible, maybe even confident, but are factually inaccurate or just plain made up. This is why it's absolutely vital to double-check AI-generated information, especially for what we call high-stake tasks, things like medical or financial advice, where accuracy is critical. You can't just blindly trust it.
Okay, always verify for important stuff. Got it.
Fourth, AI still fundamentally lacks true creativity and emotional intelligence. It can mimic styles, it can generate text or art that looks creative, but it struggles with deeply nuanced human interaction or problems requiring complex, abstract understanding. Think about a self-driving car. It can detect other cars, pedestrians, follow traffic rules really well. But it might struggle to interpret a subtle, nuanced human gesture, like a construction worker waving traffic on in a non-standard way. That requires a level of contextual understanding AI often lacks.
Right, that human element.
Exactly. And finally, just to hammer it home, its performance is always, always dependent on the quality of the data. Messy, irrelevant, or poor quality data will simply make things worse, not better. Recognizing these limitations, bias, data cutoffs, hallucinations, lack of true creativity, data dependency, it's absolutely key to using AI responsibly and effectively. It helps you avoid common pitfalls and understand what it can and, just as importantly, what it can't reliably do right now.
That's a really important reality check. Okay, so for you, our listener, maybe you're feeling curious, maybe a bit intimidated, maybe excited. What's the practical advice for actually starting to engage with AI, whether that's just using tools personally or maybe thinking about it professionally? How do you actually get started on this journey, even if you're not aiming to become like a full-blown AI engineer?
Yeah,
that's a great question because AI literacy is becoming valuable everywhere, regardless of your specific role or career path. First off, for anyone wondering about those AI beginner courses you see advertised, like the Google one we looked at, are they worthwhile?
Yeah, who are they really for?
Well, they seem excellent for true beginners. People who are visual learners, they often use really simple graphics and analogies, like comparing an AI tool to a car and its underlying model to the engine. Simple stuff like that.
Makes it less abstract.
Exactly. And also good for people who value getting a legitimate certificate, maybe for their job or resume. They are definitely not for people who are already pretty deep into AI or ML. It would be too basic.
Okay, good for newcomers, not for experienced folks. What about pitfalls to avoid? Say, if you or your company is trying to implement some AI tools.
Yeah, there are some common traps. First, don't expect AI to magically solve everything. Be really realistic about its current limitations. Second, don't rely only on the machine learning engineers, the tech gurus. You absolutely need to pair them with business talent people who understand the actual problems you're trying to solve. Otherwise, you build cool tech that doesn't actually help.
Right, bridging the gap between tech and need.
Precisely. Also, don't expect instant success. AI projects almost always require many iterations, lots of tweaking, lots of learning. It's not a one-shot deal. And critically, don't try to use traditional project planning methods for AI projects. They're just different. They're more exploratory, more uncertain. They need a more agile, flexible approach. Oh, and don't wait around trying to hire some mythical superstar engineer. Build with the team you have. Look for people who are good learners, maybe self-taught. Passion and adaptability count for a lot here.
That's really practical advice for organizations. What about an individual wanting to maybe skill up, learn more deeply? Where should they focus? You mentioned it's not just for engineers.
Right. If you're looking to dive deeper, maybe even build things yourself. Think about the core building blocks. Mm-hmm. Having a decent grasp of fundamental mathematics, things like linear algebra, calculus, statistics, it really helps you understand how these algorithms actually work, how they think and make predictions.
Okay, the math matters.
It provides the foundation. Then there's Python. It's really the go-to programming language for AI development. Learning the fundamental syntax, and then key data science libraries like NumPy, Pandas, scikit-learn, that gives you the practical tool.
Python, got it.
And understanding basic data structures and algorithms, things like trees, graphs, sorting methods. These aren't just for coding interviews. They're genuinely used in the AI and ML space to handle data efficiently.
So math, Python, data structures, the fundamentals.
Exactly. You don't need a PhD to get started, honestly. But getting a good grounding in those areas forms a really strong foundation. Then you can start specializing, maybe diving into machine learning concepts, supervised versus unsupervised learning, common algorithms. Then maybe deep learning neural networks, transformers.
And eventually deploying models.
Yeah, that's further down the line. Skills like cloud technologies, AWS, Google Cloud, Azure. Maybe containerization like Docker. Writing good production level code. But the key is starting with the fundamentals. It's a vast field. so take it step by step. Understand that mastery takes time, practice, and a lot of experimentation. Treat failures as learning opportunities.
Start small, collaborate, experiment, build foundational skills. That sounds like solid advice for tackling any complex field, really.
Absolutely. And remember, AI skills are definitely in high demand right now, and they can increase earning potential. It's a worthwhile area to explore.
So there you have it, really. AI, at its heart, is about simulating human intelligence. It's already, as we've seen, a significant part of our daily lives in many forms. And understanding both its incredible strengths and its crucial limitations, that's absolutely key to using it responsibly and effectively.
And that really brings us to a final, maybe provocative thought for you to consider. Given the incredibly rapid pace of AI development and the ways these different tools, the standalone ones, the integrated features, the custom solutions can potentially combine, what truly surprising, maybe unforeseen applications might emerge in just the near future. Applications that leverage these different facets of AI in entirely new ways we haven't even thought of yet.
That is a truly thought-provoking question to leave you with. What combinations haven't we seen? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of artificial intelligence.